Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Our Conversation. This is the radio show made especially for the community of BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and as always, joining me in the studio is BAE Systems CEO Ian King. Ian, hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Tim.
Now, first of all, Ian, I know you've been to India recently as part of a business delegation along with the British Prime Minister. Sounds very grand, very impressive. What did you do whilst you were out there with the PM?
Well, we had a UK-India CEO forum, so we're talking about a number of initiatives. It's an important country, an important market for us, so we held that forum and decided the next actions, and then I took time to go into our office. We have an office in Delhi and spoke to the team there, asked them their opinion of the podcast.
I believe they're regular listeners and they use it to good effect, don't they?
They do say it's a good way of keeping up to date and they like the informality of it. They said if you could get the commentator to just say a bit less, it'd be fantastic. But, you know, you can't have everything, can you?
Not everything. No, not for this money. You can't. I believe also they kick off their monthly team meetings by listening to this podcast.
They do. No, they do. They authentically answered the question. I just asked them, did they find it useful? Were there other things? And they said, no, just keep it informal and up to date. And they use it. So, well, it's very good to hear.
That's very good to hear. Very good to get that feedback as well. And hello to everybody listening now in the Delhi office. I suppose getting out and representing BAE Systems is obviously a key part of your job.
It is. You know, as I say, it is an important market. You know, we've got some good business there already on the Hawk trainer. It's really important we represent the company.
Now, when we spoke last month, Ian, you were preparing for the annual strategy and business plan review with the board. How did that session go?
It went very well. The board complimented the team on the professional nature of the presentations and the brevity and getting to the key points. The important thing for the rest of the organisation is that we agree the strategy and then agree the financial targets so we can flow down those targets to the organisation, and that we achieved on the day, which is a good way forward early in the cycle.
Now, one other recent event that we can't ignore is the election of Donald Trump as President of the United States, President-elect, of course. As you can appreciate, Ian, many people in the business are keen to know your thoughts about the election, and we have one of your colleagues from the US on the line now.
Hi, this is Sarah Chadwick, Platforms and Services Sector. One of the questions that repeatedly came up this year during our manager meetings and all hands is what impact, if any, the US elections would have on our domestic and international business. Would you be able to comment on that?
Yes, I can. I think it's pretty clear from what we hear that he wants to stimulate the economy, and he sees manufacturing and defence and security as one of the ways of stimulating the economy. And the perception and view is that he will spend more on defence, and that will benefit the company, which is why our share price has been strong since the election result.
Okay, Ian, for the moment, thank you. We'll have another question for you on a different subject, I promise, at the end of the show. Next up, though, we're looking at the F-35 repair hubs. The UK and Australia have recently been chosen as significant repair hubs for the F-35 aircraft, which is the world's largest defence programme. BAE Systems is the main contractor in each country, so let's find out what it means for each of those businesses. Firstly, joining me on the line from Australia is Todd Burdell, F-35 Project Manager. Todd, hello, welcome to the programme.
Hello, Tim. It's great to be here.
Now, your depot in Williamtown, New South Wales, is well prepared for this assignment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Our Williamtown facility has been supporting fast jet sustainment for over 15 years on the Royal Australian Air Force's lead-in fighter Hawk and F-18 Hornet aircraft, and we're currently activating the regional F-35 aircraft MRO and U depot for the South Pacific, which will deliver depot-level repair capability from late 2018.
And what does this announcement mean then for the employees based in Williamtown?
Our Williamtown site is buzzing at the moment. We really stand proud of our capability in terms of our people, processes, tools and facilities. Our people have the opportunity to train and work on this amazing fifth generation aircraft with its sensor fusion and advanced stealth capability. For the Williamtown region and across Australia, we expect we will continue to grow our highly skilled workforce, and they'll continue to deliver exemplar sustainment services and become an integral part of the F-35 global support system.
Okay, Todd Burdell, thanks for joining us from Australia.
Thanks, Tim. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So turning to the UK now, our reporter Andrew Fletcher is with Andrea Thompson, Senior Vice President, F-35, Military Air and Information, based at Salisbury. Andrew, over to you.
Thanks, Tim. So, Andrea, what does the F-35 repair hub announcement mean for MAI?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's a fantastic win for not only the F-35 program, but for MAI as a whole. But I think what it really does is it builds on some of MAI's true capabilities around the area of sustainment and providing solutions to our customers. It builds on the work MAI has done on other platforms and evolves the sustainment solution just that little bit further for the F-35 program. So real good collaborative and innovative effort, I think, across MAI to come up with this solution.
And how does this build on BAE Systems' broader involvement on the F-35 program in the UK?
If I break it down into two levels, perhaps, first one being at the Samlesbury site, which is the home of the F-35 program, a lot of great collaboration and innovative thinking goes on at Samlesbury. From the facilities perspective at Samlesbury, we also have some extension work going on right now in two of our main manufacturing facilities for F-35, and that's to get up to rate readiness. In fact, we're basically ready now, coming to completion of that. The second element I'd look at from the UK lens is Marham. So RAF Marham is going to be home to the UK F-35 fleet, and we're managing the construction and the build of three facilities down there at Marham that will help support the fleet as it comes into service and then as it operates.
Well, it sounds like exciting times ahead, Andrea. Thanks very much for joining us. Back to you in the studio, Tim.
Andrew Fletcher reporting for us there. Thank you, Andrew. Ian, BAE Systems then playing a crucial role on the F-35 programme in the UK, in the US and in Australia. This announcement must have been very welcome news for you.
You know, we've been working on both these submissions for quite a while, and we put our best foot forward in going for that. This is a huge programme for the company, and what we want to do is to extend that into the sustainment phase, the supported sustainment phase, and this was a pivotal part of achieving that.
OK, Ian, thank you very much. We're talking to a colleague in the US. That's next.
Conversation.
Well, November marks appreciation and support of veterans across the globe. Christy Cunningham, Senior Vice President, Communications, BAE Systems, Inc., is on the line now from Virginia. Christy, welcome to the programme. Can you tell us why employees in the US have been wearing red and what exactly this represents?
RED stands for Remember Everyone Deployed, R-E-D. And so here at BAE Systems, Inc., coming together to pledge to wear red on Veterans Day is really just one way that we can express our appreciation and gratitude for the many contributions and sacrifices made by all those who serve. So it also turned out to be a great way for us to raise money for some important nonprofit organizations that support veterans.
And how does BAE Systems support veterans at other times throughout the year?
Well, actually, Tim, honoring the men and women of America's military isn't just something we do on November 11th for Veterans Day. It's actually in our DNA. It's something we do every day here at BAE Systems, Inc., through our Veterans Support Network, our Warrior Integration Program, and then through both financial contributions as well as volunteer efforts. So here at Inc., we actively work to help our veterans during periods of transition and then to support their military families left behind when moms and dads are deployed.
Christy, you employ many veterans, don't you? How many and what skills do they bring to the company?
Oh, that's a great question, Tim. Roughly one out of every six or seven employees here in our workforce is a veteran. And so by bringing unique expertise and experiences to the company, the veterans are quite literally making the inspired work that we do possible. And, you know, when you work shoulder to shoulder with the folks who have relied on your products and services to complete their missions and return home safely, it really forges a strong commitment to the customer, and it's really, I think, that commitment that sets BAE Systems apart from the rest.
Okay, Christy Cunningham, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Virginia. Ian, of course, colleagues across the world show their support to veterans and serving members of the armed forces, don't they?
No, they do. I mean, it's one of the key parts of our company giving initiatives that we have, the armed forces. We also do it on education, but, you know, across the globe, we do a lot of key activities for the armed forces. And it will continue. It's fundamental. These are the people that we are supporting.
Yeah, we've spoken about it many times in the past on the programme. How do you go about keeping those initiatives going, do you think?
You have to keep on refreshing them, but, you know, you've got a lot of momentum coming from the people on the sites, the people who are sort of interfacing with the armed forces and the customers, and they're always coming up with good ideas. I think the initiatives are fully supported.
All right, Ian, thank you for the moment. Coming up next, another question for you from one of your colleagues.
Conversation from BAE Systems.
We've already heard from Sarah Chadwick on the subject of the US election, so here's our next question.
Hi Ian, my name is Charles McGilchrist and I'm calling you from Electronic Systems on a Rochester site. What I really wanted to ask you was, what do you think the future of nuclear submarines is, when taking into consideration the availability of hundreds of underwater drones. I mean, by my reckoning, these could stay in the water just as long and be networked in the required protected area. What do you think?
Well, I can give you a considered response to this because, we have had this question asked by some members of Parliament at some time when the Successor Submarine Programme was up for approval. The ocean is a vast place and you would actually have to deploy thousands and thousands of drones to even make a sort of any effort in terms of detecting where the submarines were. The other thing is the battery life would not last, and so that at this moment in time there is not technology which will allow them to detect the submarines. So that was the reason why the UK still will go for its nuclear deterrent and still believes it's the right thing to have a subsurface nuclear deterrent.
It's a great question though.
It's a very, very good question. Fascinating subject as well. Yes, no, fascinating subject.
Well, Charles, thank you for that question, and Ian, thank you for that answer. If, like Charles and Sarah, you'd like to put a question to Ian, just drop an email to ourconversation@basystems.com. That's ourconversation@basystems.com. You can send us your questions, your comments, your ideas, your thoughts about the show. Do get in touch. It's always great for you to be part of the programme. Well, let's close the show with a quick update from you, Ian. What are you going to be up to as we head toward the end of the year?
So it's two things that we have to do. One is that we have to do the fourth quarter business reviews and make sure that with the commitments that we've given to the board and the market that we're still comfortable with there, and I'm confident that that will be the case. And then we have to an executive committee meeting in Washington, where we actually have to agree the personal objectives of the executive committee because they flow down to the organisation. And as we talked early, having got the financial targets agreed with the board, it's important at the beginning of the year we maintain the momentum that we had last year by early release of the targets and objectives to the organisation, because you know we could see a real difference last year by achieving it earlier than we'd ever achieved before.
Okay, thank you, Ian. Now, next month is our last show of 2016, so we'll be reflecting on the year gone by. We'll be taking a peek into 2017. And Ian, I'm told, the production team have been collecting bloopers and outtakes from the past 12 months, and we'll be hearing those. I don't seem to remember us making too many mistakes.
It must be a very short list.
I can't imagine anything. Oh, and one other thing. I believe the show will be coming from your office.
Well, from my office in Stirling Square?
From your office in Stirling Square in London. Is that okay with you?
I can assure you won't find it so hot as this studio in my office.
Good. I look forward to the air conditioning. Could you lay on canapes, champagne and mince pies, please?
We could certainly give you a biscuit and a cup of tea.
Well, I look forward to that. And we'll give you a mince pie, actually. Well, I look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing you next month for a little end-of-year celebration. But for now, from me, Tim Smith, from Ian King, and of course the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
Our conversation, back next month.